This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. You can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Open line Thursday here on the Junkies. You can steer the show at 800-636-1067. We open up the show talking about the Nats, the frustration with the bullpen. ERA is now at 6.89, worst in Major League Baseball. We also got into the spat between Kevin Durant and Chris Broussard. Why does an NBA superstar like Kevin Durant get in the mix with people on TV and with fans? But he's insecure, and he does. So there's this back and forth. Talked about Drake on the sideline. Apparently the Bucks coach is annoyed at Drake. He probably should spend a little more time worrying about Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry.
Especially tonight.
Than Drake.
Yep.
But
he's not going to worry
about
Drake tonight.
A lot of fans get upset at Drake. What I said before is it doesn't bother me. And it's the cameras that are putting all the attention. It's kind of like when, remember when Kurt Warner's wife would be on TV all the time when he was playing? Mm-hmm. And people would get upset with her. It's not her fault that the cameras would always be
That's
on Kurt
Warner's
wife.
That's a little different, though. She wasn't interjecting herself basically into the action.
Okay. It's a little bit different.
It's a little different.
But the cameras don't have to highlight Drake.
Look, I think it looks a little unprofessional, but what are you going to do? I'm sure if you ask the coach, he doesn't want Drake up there rubbing his shoulders in the middle of the game. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Somebody tweeted us.
But he's right, though. I mean, he shouldn't be out there, but they should worry about what's going on the court. Can't worry about Drake.
Right.
And when you're asked about it, say that. Say, I can't worry about that. I got to focus on stopping Kawhi. And I am interested in that game tonight, by the way. I probably won't be able to watch all of it. Starts too late for me, even on a Thursday. I can watch a little bit, but you know, Milwaukee at home has been very, very good. But if Toronto can steal a win, that would be interesting.
Somebody tweeted us an interesting thing to maybe kick around as it relates to the Nationals. When we had David Sampson on the show at 7:20, he is the former Marlins team president who made decisions almost like a general manager when he was with the Marlins. Now he's a Major League Baseball expert for CBS HQ. And he kind of defended Rizzo's approach when it comes to the bullpen and bullpen construction. Warren from Arlington tweeted us and said, is Rizzo's relief pitching strategy out of date? Recent article about having pitchers that go only five or six innings, the new pitching strategy is to obtain more quality relief pitchers before starting pitchers. The best example, the Brewers.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
I don't know.
Certain teams do it differently.
I mean, is that actually what has happened with the Brewers? They focused more on getting relievers
versus a
guy like Patrick Corbin.
They got a very good bullpen there. They did last year, and Hader's one of the best relievers out there. So maybe they have.
And maybe that's what needs to be changed. I don't know.
Maybe. Sampson said that the way Rizzo constructs his bullpen is the way all the teams generally do it. And then, you know, when you find things that you need, you get the hot bullpen arm in June or July.
But maybe that approach is outdated for modern baseball.
Well, he said it wasn't. He said that's what other teams
do. His opinion.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is,
I'm assuming he's a keen observer.
I didn't read the article that this tweeter referenced, but maybe there is a shift happening in baseball with all of the analytics and things like that, where teams maybe are allocating more dollars towards getting the relievers because starters don't go as long.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it can't be an afterthought.
Certain bullpens are just better. Houston's got one of the best bullpens, if not the best bullpen in the league, and they've got legit starters.
Right.
You know?
The problem is that
you certainly would love to have both.
Sure.
The middle reliever
guys.
That's
why they're 33-17.
The guys, like, you know, they're typically guys that have failed starting or failed maybe even closing, and they barely got a foot in the league anyway, right? They tend to be the lesser talented guys. They're harder to rely on. They're not as consistent year to year. If they were, they probably wouldn't be in that spot.
Now, you watched the entire game. I went to bed and Max was still pitching, but someone told us that did Joe Ross turn his back on Davey?
Yeah, I watched the video. It doesn't look as bad as some people describe.
He was just pissed.
He didn't look at Davey. Like, you know, but that happens sometimes where manager comes out and there's no real exchange. You just hand him the ball and walk off Rick.
He threw three pitches. He got someone out, and then they brought the Smith kid in. Dominic Smith pinch hit for the pitcher for the Mets, who's a lefty. That's when they brought Grace in.
And those guys did their job. Ross got his out, and Grace got his two outs, and they got out of an inning.
Got through the seventh.
The problem was the eighth when Bearclaw allows two runners to get in scoring position. Maybe one was a bad defensive play, and then Doolittle gives up the blown save.
Correct. Well, the first batter he faced, didn't he hit him?
Yes.
Was that Gomez, Carlos Gomez?
Might have been his first pitch, even.
Yeah.
I can't remember every detail of it, but it might have been the first pitch. Yeah. It was just a shame. It's one of those games, too. You know, if Eaton hit the bomb in the first inning, so we were leading the whole game. That's what made it even more painful.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Open line Thursday, 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Quinn in Reston. Quinn, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. Just quick point. I heard your point about the Brewers and the person who sent in that article about the Brewers. I was listening to an interview with Christian Yelich a few days ago. I think it was on Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the way that their bullpen and their pitching is constructed, basically if they have even just a one or two run lead by the sixth, they know in the dugout that they're going to win the game. Like and if you look at their record, like almost every time they have a lead going into like late in the game, they know basically that they're going to win, and they're pretty automatic. So just wanted to mention that.
The Royals were like that years ago, right? They were famous for that.
Yeah, I remember Royals, a couple years ago, because I was an Orioles fan, and the Orioles faced them in the playoffs.
And I know the Nats felt like they had that last year.
It was a shutdown. Like, when they got to the seventh inning, they had three guys. They had a seventh-inning guy, an eighth-inning guy, and then their closer, and it was
the Nats thought they had that with Kinsler, Mats, and Doolittle, right?
Well, and they did in the beginning of that era, and then, you know, that kind of fell apart, obviously. But, like, you know, the year that the Cubs won their World Series, they had, you know, a bullpen where they could go 6, 7, 8, and then by the ninth they would hit the Chapman, who they traded for at the deadline. But it was just automatic. You knew basically that it was a lock once you had a decent lead. So just wanted to let that point across.
Well, thank you, Quinn.
Right, I think they thought they had their eighth inning guy. They were banking, obviously, but by the amount of money they gave Rosenthal, and that just blew up in their face, right? It's a huge swing and miss. They probably thought they could use like a bear claw in the seventh inning, but not working.
Yeah, I think they're hopeful on Rainey based on his stuff, but when we had Sampson on again, the former Marlins president who's now an analyst, he said everybody throws 99. Yeah. So I don't know if Rainey's going to work out. It's, you know, he had impressive stuff, but Jason pointed this out yesterday. A lot of it's about location. And if you can't locate,
location's big.
And you're throwing 99, it doesn't matter.
It's more important than speed and velocity.
They just never thought that after 25 games, like Matt Grace has pitched in 25 games, his ERA is an 8. Bearclaw's pitched in 25 games, his ERA is at 5.5. Wander Suero's pitched in 21 games. His ERA is 6.2. Tony Sipp, 19 games, 5.4. They just couldn't imagine that all these guys this deep into it would be pitching this horribly.
I mentioned this yesterday.
They never have before.
Bearclaw's numbers are even worse because it's
inherited runners.
5-on-5. Yeah. Inherited runners, 7 out of 8 have scored when he's been in the game.
Yeah.
And he put 2 on for Doolittle yesterday. I got to see that video of the fly ball that it turned into a double.
Yeah, that was weird because it was in the air long enough. Certainly, if a Michael Taylor is out there, that's an out.
Yes.
And certainly.
Kind of surprised they didn't make a defensive adjustment there and replace Soto.
Should they in the eighth inning? Would that be standard? It's easy to say.
I mean, it's happened before.
Typically, when they make those late,
but it's a close game and you don't want to take his bat out.
True, and I'm sure that's why he did it.
Right.
Turns out he probably should have. Right? It's easy to criticize him after.
What's he hitting now? Last I checked, he was right around 240.
Soto, 253.
He's up to 253. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he's basically, you maybe hope that he have a few more homers. He's
probably
going
to be in that 240 to 260 range.
I would think he'd go up a little bit. Let's go to Let's go to Christian in Manassas. Christian, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Chuckies.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I was just calling. At what point do we fire Davey Martinez? Because I think this is getting out of hand, watching it blow up every single night. And why not get rid of him sooner and see if we can't right the ship?
Well,
before
let's just say you fired him. You know, and the same situation happens tomorrow with Buck Showalter. He'd probably do the same thing. Bring Doolittle in. You know, like when he did. I mean, I don't know.
Does
like, what problem do you have with the moves
a bit of
he made?
Confidence into the team.
What?
Do you think firing him will inject confidence in the team? Like, hey, maybe a change can fix this, and we can start winning some games?
I don't know. Maybe a lot of those guys would disagree with that move. Maybe they like Davey so much, they say, well, we don't want the manager fired. It's on us. We got to play better.
I mean, you can point to instances where they've made midseason managerial changes and teams have gone, you know, completely turned it around. But I think it is fairly rare. Right?
Yes.
Yep, I agree with that.
But I do think that it's getting to the point where it's so bad, you have to make a change just for the sake of change. So
Put it this way, if they lose today, they play at 12 today, they lose today, Strasburg on the mound, they're swept in New York, then you got to come play the Marlins, who've won five straight, but they're the worst team in the National League. If you lose to the Marlins, you lose that series, you lose 3 out of 4 over the weekend, I mean, just kind of just to appease the fans.
Need a new look. Yeah. We need some fresh eyeballs. We need a fresh face and maybe a different perspective in here. Maybe that'll help things.
Now, maybe they win today and they win 3 out of 4 against Miami, which they should. Mm-hmm. And it's a totally different story next week. But we'll see. Based on how they're playing, you wouldn't expect that.
And what we don't know is Rizzo talked about this with us yesterday. They'll have meetings after games. They'll look at film. They'll look back at a game. What we don't know is whether Rizzo is agreeing with all of these Davey Martinez decisions. He might be thinking, why is he taking out Joe Ross after 3 pitches? Mm-hmm. He might be thinking, why is he going to Bear Claw 2 days in a row? Why didn't he go with one of the other guys in the bullpen? I don't know.
Bear Claw, I'm telling you, is one of their better options. Bad as they are.
You'd rather have Bear Claw and Doolittle in there than anybody else.
Probably.
Not after last night, but based on the numbers.
And they took out Ross because they brought up the lefty.
Correct.
Yeah. Understood.
And by the way, a ton of managers would do the same thing.
Yeah. I thought they were pretty standard moves. It just blew up in their face. Let's go to David in Alexandria. David, what's up? You're on the Junkies.
Hey, guys. I know that everybody's – first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know that everybody's, like, obviously going after Davey, and, you know, we talk it's not – you know, he's not pitching the ball. He's not, you know, placing the strikes, but to me, you almost want to say it's coin flips, but not. He's just wrong on every decision. Like, does Doolittle come in the eighth? Yes, probably, but it was wrong. The time before that, should have.
Hold on, why was it wrong?
Well, I'm just because it's never right. Like every single move. Every single move. Like, maybe you keep Joe Ross for an extra out. Maybe you only threw 3 pitches. Now. It's just kind of stuff like that. You guys were talking about, replacing Soto, putting in Taylor. Like, get it, but it's just everything, every move that he makes, and you can't say they're coin flips because they're not, but every move that he makes is wrong. It looks right on paper like it's supposed to, but, you know, they're not making those analytic things, and it's kind of, that's why I think Davey should be gone because, you know, you pitch it for somebody, it's not working, you know? Matt Anderson yesterday, Parra's doing okay, but you know, every single decision he's done, every single time, is wrong, even though it looks on paper right at the time, and it blows up in his face.
Well, look, if the scenario happens, as Jason was throwing out, if they lose 3 out of 4 over the weekend to the Marlins, he may not be the manager come next week.
I mean, come on, you got to put Adams in. He's a lefty against DeGrom. You can't throw Parra out there.
Yeah, I don't think the decisions are wrong. I have a problem with him saying they're wrong. They're just not working out.
Correct.
I mean,
all right, coming up next. We will get an expert's take. John Shambi, ESPN MLB play-by-play voice, joins us on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Shambi, play-by-play voice for ESPN Major League Baseball coverage. Hey, John.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, John. Props to you, buddy, because you were in San Francisco the last few days.
Yeah.
We tried to get you on a couple days ago. You were out there on the West Coast. Now you're in, I think you're in Phoenix or Tucson.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got up early for us because it's, what, 7:20 out there. Props to you for doing it for the Junks, man.
Well, for you guys, come on now. We haven't spoken in a while, so I figured, you know, just wake me up, a little coffee. I know I'd laugh a little bit, so I'm down. I'm in.
Wait, we wanted to book you when the Nats were on a heater.
Just hadn't happened yet.
I feel like the theme has been over the years when I come on with you guys, it's like, what's wrong with the Nats? And it's funny because most of the time my response to you guys is, calm down, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I am not here to provide that this time.
Yeah, I'm curious, though, John, what was your thinking? Because we keep reminding people, I mean, it wasn't just locally that people thought this team would be a contender. People nationally, people everywhere thought this was a real contender. What was your prediction for this team before the season started?
I thought they'd be the best team in the division.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I thought they'd be the best team in the division. So it's confusing for sure. You know, look, I anticipated that they would pitch at a level where they would have elite starting pitching. I mean, I didn't think that the bullpen would be. I mean, it's amazing. They have a bullpen that's almost thrown up an ERA close to 7, and that's with Doolittle.
Right.
I mean, Doolittle giving them 20-some-odd innings of brilliant work. I mean, without that, it would be over 7. I don't think you could quite have anticipated that or the injuries. The one component that ties into pitching, you know, that's the whole run prevention deal, but their defense stinks. I mean, they're in terms of defensive runs saved, mm-hmm. they've been most of the year 27th, 28th, 29th mm-hmm. in DRS, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
So in today's game, when you look at the good teams, like as of check the other night, the top two teams in defensive run save this year were the Dodgers and the Astros, and they're probably the two best teams.
Makes sense.
Do you have a problem with the way Rizzo constructed the roster?
I don't think so. Not in any. I don't think there's any like fatal mistake. I mean, again, there's injuries that are. I don't know what you do about it when you have guys, you know, sustain these injuries, but they, you know, they need Zimmerman to be on the field. They need, you know, Turner to be on the field. Just, you know, he just got back. I thought that they would have a decent offense. I didn't think it would be unbelievable, but I thought it would be pretty good. I certainly expected Soto to regress a little bit, and I think that they'll still score a decent amount, but when I think about it, you know, if they were going to win a division, they were going to need, you know, Scherzer and Strasburg especially to be monsters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It just seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong now. Last night, you know,
yeah.
Max pitches great for 6. He's thrown 109 pitches. All right, he's got to go to Ross. Ross gets a guy out. Grace comes in, gets a guy out. All right, now you're in the 8th. You still have a 1-run lead. Bearclaw hits, you know, allows that double that should have been caught. Soto probably should have caught it, but, you know, then Doolittle has to come in with 2 guys on, hits a guy, all right? Yeah. Doolittle hits Gomez, and then, you know, he gives up the double. It just seems like everything right now that can go wrong will go wrong, and, you know, today they play at 12 with Strasburg on the mound, but based on the way they played, they'll probably lose.
Yeah, it's been weird, I just you know, we were there Sunday, and, yeah, there's just kind of a weird vibe around it. It doesn't feel good, and it's just one of those weird things, man. It's when you're gonna look back on this team, this group that couldn't get out of the first round. It's a bummer. It's surprising. I'll also say, you know, there's a part of it that's a little bit unlucky. You know, like that's just the way. You know, if you sit there and parse some of those some of those division series, they most certainly could have moved on. This year's team, though, I don't feel good about digging out. Like, I thought that the NL East was going to be 3 to 4 teams beating on each other for it, and now I think it's going to be 2.
Yeah, looks that way.
Joined by John Shambi, play-by-play voice on ESPN. What are your impressions of Davey Martinez?
I think fine. I mean, when I get asked the manager question for the Nationals, it's impossible for me to not think of how the Nationals view the manager in the macro. They just don't value the position, and they don't pay, and I don't think that they should have let Dusty go to begin with. And that has so there's nothing to do with Davey. I think Davey's been fine, man.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't value it, and I'm not a humongous, like, the manager is. I mean, I think the GM is more, procuring the talent is more important than the talent utilization. So
sure.
I think the GM position is more important, but I don't think they have a manager problem. But they have created this culture where, man, as an organization, they've made it really clear that they do not value the manager.
Yeah, we'll see what happens today and going forward. They play the Marlins this weekend at home. I know the Marlins have been hot, but you got to beat the Marlins. So, and they already
well,
lost.
That's exactly right, Bish. Like, if you sit there and look at this division, I talk to people with the Braves and the Phillies. Like, you're going to beat the Marlins' ass. Like,
right.
You're going to win 14 games against the Marlins. You want to win the division? You have, like, there are free wins there. Like, I know that they play better, but, like, you have to beat their butts for sure.
Yeah. And the Mets were just swept by them, but then, you know, and they were calling for Mickey Callaway up in New York. You follow it more than me, but
yes.
Thankful for Mickey Callaway, they won 3 straight games against the Nats.
Play the Nats, chumps.
So he might be safe for a while. All right, so I wanted to kind of bounce around the league a little bit, get off the Nats. I know that the Yankees are much better than the Orioles. They're 9-2 now against them in 11 games. And I understand that the Orioles pitching staff's given up, 100 home runs. But, man, Torres has 10 home runs against the Orioles. He's too shy of the major league record of a player hitting the most home runs against a team. Going back to, like, Lou Gehrig when he was playing against the St. Louis Browns. I can't believe a guy is just torturing the Orioles as much as Torres for the Yankees. That's incredible.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it's just one of those weird random things. The other thing is, how about this? If for all the home runs the Orioles have allowed, I think that Gleyber Torres and the Twins have probably a third of them. So one player and one team probably have about a third of the homers that they've allowed, because the Twins have hit almost 25 homers against them.
Yeah,
it's been a weird thing. But what the Yankees are doing to the Orioles is the thing that I just mentioned that those other teams need to do to the Marlins. Like, you gotta, like, right now the Orioles aren't good, and there are wins that are available, and you have to take them.
Are you surprised with how good the Yankees have been, considering? We just talked about injuries with the Nats, right? And we docked the Nats a few wins because of those 4 big injuries. The Yankees have had bigger injuries to better players and still 14 games over 500. Are you kind of surprised by that number?
I am. I am. The only piece of data that I would supply is that in April the Yankees had by far the major league's easiest schedule.
True.
And so I think that has helped sustain them through all these injuries, and now they'll start getting healthy and get all their elite players back, and then things will start to normalize. And I think we had a pretty good idea that they were probably a 100 win team.
I know it's easy to say this because of some of the big leads, teams like Houston and Minnesota have, but I mean, you can kind of call at least 3 divisions already. We're not to Memorial Day weekend. Anything can happen. I get it. I know. But I don't see the Indians or anybody else in the Central taking over the Twins. Houston's not going to lose the West. The Dodgers aren't losing the West. I guess the other 3 are kind of up for grabs. But wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's so many bad teams right now, average to really bad teams, especially in the American League.
In the American League, think about it in terms of from what I do,
Yeah.
You know, like, remember, like, so one of the things that's cool, you know, I did the Marlins for 8 years, the Braves for three, and, you know, when I see all my buddies who are broadcasters for teams, they're like, hey, you want to go back and do a team? And part of the thing that's cool is, you know, my team, quote unquote, is never bad. Like, I never get stuck with a 100-loss team. We're always doing good teams. But with that, I mean, in the American League, on ESPN this year, who are the teams that we're going to go watch? We're watching the Yankees. We're watching the Red Sox. We'll do the Rays a little bit, but, man, like, we don't have a lot of interest in going to watch that team in that building because that place is sad. And then you got the Twins, a little bit of the Indians, and the Astros. And that's it, man. Like, in the rest of that league, like,
sucks.
For the time being, yeah, we're not going to be seeing a lot of the Royals or the Astros or, you know, the Mariners have started to fade. I know the Rangers are playing better, but, like, that's it, man.
Don't you
You're
have
talking
to give
about
Trout some love?
Yeah, I mean, do you?
I guess not.
You do. I mean, look, how about this one? For the, I'll ask you guys this. Like, selfishly, Mike Trout signing that extension, I'll admit it bummed me out a little bit because I just – but. Because playing in Anaheim, man, like, even if they're good, he just kind of disappears.
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of disappears. He's not only playing out west, he's playing in the for one of the teams out west that, like, no one's really paying that close attention to. You know what I mean?
True.
Agreed. I mean, I get you. I love watching Mike Trout play. He's one of the best players I've ever seen. But, yeah, just with that team, and they're not sexy, you know?
And no, you're right, because I asked,
You guys know I know sexy.
But with a team like the Angels, like I asked Jason the other day, because I'm a casual baseball fan at best, and I said, what's Ohtani doing? I have no idea.
Right.
Well,
No, I get it. So you're locked in on, like, what the Redskins are going to do at linebacker, or what are we doing?
Hey, you know what?
There's a lot of that.
Since the Caps let us down.
But we like to call this season skits and bits season. There are going to be a lot of skits and bits the next couple months.
Yeah, but see, last year, you got to remember, John, last year with the Caps run, I mean, they got us into June. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It was just a crazy, crazy run. And now with the Nats sucking.
The Wizards are irrelevant.
The Wizards are irrelevant. It's, you know, we got to talk about the Nats three or four times a show and a little bit about the Skins. But other than that, there's not much to talk about.
I got a question for you guys. Am I allowed to interview you guys?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, of course.
All right. So, like, you guys have been doing this a long time, and I mean sincerely, your show is awesome. Like, there's a reason I got up early, because I love coming on with you guys. Like,
thanks,
it's just
John.
Fun. You ask good questions. It's always just got a good energy to it. But the thing that was in my head the other day is we're in the neighborhood of the same age, and – have you made this transition? Because when you started, you were the young, fun guys.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like not young anymore.
Yeah.
You're not young and cool anymore.
Right.
Like, you're of an age where you, like, there's plenty of stuff out there that's cool that you have no idea that's cool.
Correct.
Have you run into that ever?
All the time.
Every single show, we're reminded of it.
There's a lot of stuff we used to do, you know, with the strippers and the lesbians. And I mean, we don't do that stuff anymore. I mean, yeah, the show's changed.
We've matured, and hopefully the audience sticks with us.
And
then you just find guys to make fun of.
That's basically what we do now.
I like you.
Hey, are you out there? I assume you're out there to call D-backs game this weekend? Or
I'm not. I'm out just... just vegging. I am off this weekend going to see a friend and just vegging out. And my next game is next Wednesday.
It's a great life.
The Astros and the Cubs.
Oh,
by the
sweet.
Way,
nice.
So Bish isn't on Twitter. He's not a social media guy.
Yeah.
I saw you did this like a week ago. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He doesn't often take pictures of himself. Maybe you do occasionally, but he just put a picture of side by side his old glasses and his new glasses, right?
Uh-huh.
They looked identical. Right. What was the reaction to that?
Okay, so here's the funniest thing was that, like, I basically went and texted, like, any, like, kind of hot girl that I know or girl that I know, and I was like, what do you got? And they're all like, old glasses rule. And then, of course, on Twitter, because I'm followed by, you know, some guy wearing a Tom Brady jersey, everybody on Twitter was like, the left, I love the left. and all the guys on Twitter were like, the new glasses rule. So it's been a struggle. Did you see the Chipper Jones thing? Did you guys see that?
I saw a little bit of it. Man, by the way, he is jacked. I mean, I know he was always
in
good shape.
No, he's got you, if you get a chance, you should check that out because it was hilarious. I got to tell this story about when I was broadcasting for the Braves in 2009, and I had gone up to him pregame, and I was like, hey, man, you're not swinging real good right now. How come you're swinging the first pitch so much? I was on Fangraphs, and you see the second fewest first pitch strikes in the majors. And so he was arguing with me. I wasn't telling him not to swing at the first pitch, but I was presenting him with information, and he said, it's probably the only time I'm going to get a fastball. So that night, he goes to the plate, and Tim Stauffer throws him 91, and it splits the plate. And he takes it, and he steps out of the box, and he just stares up at me in the broadcast.
I see the video.
If you go to my Twitter page, it's on there. And we played it for him while he was in the booth. It was incredible.
That is a great story.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he was so good. I remember watching that. He was so good with you guys.
He was great. He really was fun, man. He was a lot of fun. He was engaging, and we had a good time with
him.
Does
he ever want to manage? Did you ask him that?
I did ask him that, and he said he couldn't pay me enough. And then he was like, well, I don't think he wants to do it. You know what? It's one of those things. All these guys have made so much money where it's like, yeah, I'll manage home games and on Thursdays, you know what I mean? Like, they're down to do that, you know? So I just think that for so many of them, they're not interested. But he's a savant. I mean, he's someone that just, he watches something and sees a guy hit or something happen, and he sees stuff that the average person, even the average player, doesn't see.
Yeah. John, hey, man, thanks for the time. Thanks for getting up. Enjoy the weekend out there in the sun, and we'll get you on in the next few weeks. Okay, buddy?
Thank you, man.
And if you come to town, if you're coming to do a Nats
hang
game,
out.
Come on in studio if you want.
Yeah, I need to do that. I need to swing by. You guys will always be cool to me. You'll always be the young, cool guys to me.
All right, thank you to somebody. Right, thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
See you, bro.
Yeah, getting old, man.
John Schaumbe.
He nailed it, though. When we started out, we were 25, 26, 27 years old. Some of us still single. All had dark hair. All had hair. A lot has changed. Hopefully people still listen. The ratings last week were amazing.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
This is what it is.
We keep fooling them somehow.
800-636-1067 is the phone number. Open line Thursday as we close out the show here on a Thursday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. I have some Nats tickets to give away. We've been talking about the Nats a lot. 10th caller now at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with those tickets for Friday's game. That would be tomorrow, May 24th. At Nats Park. After you enjoy the game, you can enjoy a spectacular fireworks show. It's Fireworks Friday. Tickets on sale at nationals.com, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
Drabby put in the outline for today's show in the last segment. What'd you have for dinner last night? I thought that was pretty funny. It's usually something we just kind of bring up, you know. Just kind of killing time. But he
actually, the moment.
But he actually wanted to schedule it.
Ooh.
He told me we haven't done it in a while, and he likes it better than 5 and 10.
So what do we have? What did we have dinner last night, or what did we have for dinner last night?
Yeah,
I can tell you, I forgot at first. I've probably only had Indian food less than 5 times in my life, but there's a new spot in my neighborhood, and I walked over to the Spice Life, and so I had some Indian food. I don't even remember what I had. I actually asked the person, so it's kind of like a. Like a lot of these places, like Cava, Chipotle, it's one of those style places where you can get a bowl.
Right. So it's not a sit-down place.
It's.
I mean, is there a server that comes over and takes?
No. Yeah, yeah. So right. you know, cafeteria style, you go through, and so that's what I did. Spice Life.
Good.
And I recommend it. It was good, but I asked for the least spicy thing they have. That's why I'm generally not into Indian food. I'm not big into spicy food. It doesn't agree with me well.
Right. I don't think I've ever had Indian food at an Indian restaurant. Like, my wife would make something at the house that has kind of a Indian recipe.
She slaps some steff on it.
Yeah, put a little curry in there. But, yeah, I mean, I like it. As long as it's got chicken and rice, I'm good.
Last night, nobody was at the house. I mean, my wife and son, they were coming back from Louisville. My daughters were out. So I went to Safeway, and I got salad from the salad bar. That was my dinner.
Really? Kind of boring.
Yeah.
Kind of boring.
That's true.
No protein?
I put chicken in there.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the Blue Ridge Grill last night in Ashburn, Virginia.
All right.
With my wife, went and had salmon with mashed potatoes and broccoli and a nice glass of Merlot.
How did you pick Blue Ridge?
Because
you know the manager there or something?
No, that's right. It's a good spot right
near
my
paid.
House.
You got paid. A bill and you paid the whole thing?
I think the bill was $62.
No gift cards?
No gift cards. It'd be nice.
Good for you.
Place is sweet. We go there enough.
Right.
But that's what I had. Drabby, what did you have for dinner last night, my friend?
My dinner was nubs. I thought I was going to have something big and grand when I wrote that email last night.
Right.
Homemade nachos.
Why?
Why do you do that?
Homemade nachos.
Why? I ran out of time and I was feeling lethargic.
What happened to your air fryer deal?
I am psyched. I did want to tell you about that. The air fryer has changed my life.
What? I don't even know what an air fryer is.
Well, I knew what it was, but the afternoon show started doing a bit recently where they were doing it on the show.
What is it?
It's a convection oven that sits on your tabletop and it heats up super fast and you can put anything in there that you would put in the oven and it cooks in just a few minutes and somehow, I don't know how it does it because the air blows around all over the place. It makes everything crispy.
Hmm. So could you put could you put a frozen pizza in there?
No, they're not that big, but you put your salmon in there. You'd put your chicken.
Your salmon, you mean?
Yeah, I'm doing a bit.
Yeah. He's doing a bit, right?
You
put chicken in there.
Your chicken in there. Chicken, French fries, tater tots, broccoli, asparagus.
Let's say if I wanted to heat up some chicken, how long would it take?
I put 7 chicken wings in there the other night, and I cooked them for 17 minutes.
17 minutes? That's not that fast.
He's been eating chicken wings and nachos. He loves bar food.
Chicken does take a little longer.
Chicken takes the longest of anything.
But like you're reheating, though.
Salmon takes 7 minutes or something.
Right.
But here's the thing. An oven takes forever to warm up. This thing takes 60 seconds to warm up.
That is true. But does it taste as good? That's the
question.
Tastes
better.
Does it?
It's incredible.
7 minutes for a salmon seems like a long time too.
How much is an air fryer?
I get $100.
$100.
Now they're hideous though.
What do you got to put them back? Ugly. Away.
You can't
cheap,
like cheap plastic things, but they are all the rage right now.
Hmm. Valdez, what'd you have for dinner last night?
I made dinner. I made a.
But you always make dinner. That's pretty much standard. You and Drabby are like.
You've established your wife has made dinner once.
You guys are the cooks.
Well, I'm home before. She is, so I can do
but
that.
But she doesn't strike me as somebody that cares about cooking. Right?
She wants to.
He's defending her now.
She wants good. To.
She just doesn't.
She's right. Never going to be good at it. Right.
I had this silly, one of those low-carb flatbread things that you get.
Yeah.
Then I had some leftover meat sauce with some mozzarella cheese and ricotta, and I made
pizza.
I made homemade pizza. It was silly.
It's like pizza quick sauce back in the day.
Good for you. All right, real quick, let's go to Nick in Richmond.
By the way, are the Nats going to win today?
Hey, yes. Hey, Junk, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Gotta get more than 3 hits.
Hey, so I got a horse gambling story for you guys. So this past weekend, I went to the Preakness. Never been before, and I didn't realize how much of a show it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I didn't win much money. I think I was up maybe like $80 or something. So Tuesday, I go into my Twin Spires account to cash it out. It says I have $2,000 to withdraw.
Sweet.
And I'm like,
how?
I'm wondering where it came from because I like horse gambling, but I only do it on the Triple Crown races.
Right.
So the way Twin Spires works is you have to go look on certain dates. So I start looking. I know I didn't win anything for the Kentucky Derby this year. So I start looking last year, and I hit 2 superfectas, $1 piece, same exact bet, last year's Belmont, and had no idea. Paid out $800 both bets, so about $1,600 just about.
Wow.
Had no idea.
That's
had
sweet.
No idea until today.
That's incredible.
Free money.
Yep.
You got free money today.
Yep.
Everybody loves free money.
What are you going to do with it?
So sick.
Well,
I think you should bet it all. Put it on the Mets.
The smart thing would be to pay off the six figures in college debt I have, but I've already blown half of it on new golf clubs. Just got that new Callaway Epic Flash driver.
Of course you have.
Oh, you got the Epic Flash. Nice.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, Nick, we got to run. Congrats, buddy.
20 years to pay off the college debt.
Yeah, you got 10
never,
years.
That'll probably never get
generally, they want you to pay it off in 10.
New clubs are silly, though.
Yeah, new clubs are silly. All right, real quick, let's go to Bruce. I think he's ready. Hey, Bruce, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, junkies.
You have an announcement?
Nixon, I still live at home. I'm not a loser.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I don't know.
No. Jason, absolutely not.
Plus, you're taking care of your mom, right?
I take care of my mom.
Heck yeah, good for you.
She's doing okay?
No, not doing okay.
No.
She's not
there. She's
been... What are the weekend plans, Bruce?
I just stay home. I'm not trying to go to church and be at home with my mom.
You're a good man.
All right.
Bruce, we got to run. We only got like 10 seconds.
Okay.
All right,
have
man.
A great
Thank
weekend,
you.
Buddy. Love you, man.
Bruce the Hugger.
Bye.
Thursday staple. All right.
Say a prayer for Lurch.
Biggest game of the year today.
EB and JP. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.